Brand and content creator or influencer collaborations can drive sales, awareness, and other desired results. Part of the value that content creators and influencers bring is the trust between the influencer and their community.
It has taken me so long to build the trust that I have with my community.
Content creators are also seen as being more credible by their communities in how they engage with brands.
I'm so lucky to have a community that actually trusts me, because I don't want people tagging me on social media to say, look at what happened to my face after I bought that product that you said I must buy.
Lelo Boyan, a seasoned content creator, influencer, and the founder of Chica, joins me on this episode. She's also the founder of entertainment blog Just Curious, the Love Conference, and the host of the Chica Travel Podcast.
That's my future. That's the one thing that I will never get tired of, even when I'm 50.
In this episode, we talk about how brands can collaborate successfully with influencers.
Don't try and make me do things I don't usually do. I'm not going to say yes to everything just because I want to secure the bag.
We also get into some of the dynamics that make these partnerships work and how she chooses the brands she works with.
There are brands where as soon as I see the name, I want to work with them.
She also shares the value of creative control when working with brands or agencies, because influencers understand their communities better. This is The Lead Creative. Welcome to The Lead Creative Podcast, where we talk to creative industry leaders, influencers, and brands. We discuss the strategies that influence brand thinking and shape industries. Thought leaders and heads of agencies let us in on some of their thinking and insights. I'm your host, Monge Zimtati. Enjoy the show, and please share and subscribe. Lelo, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
No, thank you for making the time, actually. I mean, I know it gets quite hectic. So it's an absolute honor. Tell us a bit about the backstory to the launch of Chica, when you wanted to travel to Durban and you invited other women to join you.
Yes, I actually quite like this story. when you're just scrolling on social media and you're all bored and this image of these black women on a beach somewhere just pops up. And when I saw that image, I was like, I would love to have a girls trip. But I know my friends, if I contact them, the battle to get everybody to be available at the same time is so difficult, because everybody has got this and that they need to work on. So I was just like, okay, let me put this out on Twitter. Maybe there are people out there who also want to travel, but they don't have people that are going to travel, that are available to travel with them. And yes, we know the thing about group travel where you plan a trip as 10 people, and by the time you have to go, there's only two of you left. So I put it out there on Twitter, and the response was overwhelming. I was like, okay, this sounds like people taking me seriously. They don't think I'm crazy for suggesting that they're going to travel with strangers. So I got everybody I created an email address. I said, cool, here's where you need to register. This is how much you need to pay to secure your spot. And then we're going to go to Durban on these dates. And this is even before I actually, researched accommodation or flights and whatever. I just looked at my calendar. I was like, okay, I can travel on this weekend. And then people were like confirming. And by the time the trip came, there were 16 of us. And that was the start of me doing these Chica Travel group trips. And I think, people always get scared when they are going to travel with people, strangers, because you don't know the kind of personalities that you are going to get onto that trip. So I was so lucky that I didn't get, prima donnas or divas or, people that are not friendly. It was people that people that were attracted to me because of my personality. So therefore, we all gelled in that way.
Yes,
So that was the beginning of these trips. And since the Durban one, we did Thailand and recently the Western Cape.
Okay, so how long did it take between the time you posted this tweet to the first person confirming and paying the deposit?
I think it was possibly like a month and a half. Okay. A month and a half or so. So it was not really that long after.
So if, I mean, if you look at it, if we put it in campaign terms, it would probably have been then a month long campaign that you kind of, that you did and did successfully, which to me talks to this aspect of influence or the power of influence and how that can drive action as well as behavior, because you had this idea, it drove this action and people started putting money into it, and it was interesting. It was the kind of people you wanted.
And I'm so lucky to have a community that actually trusts me. You know, these days you don't just send money, your money, to someone you have not met, you know, on the internet. But they, I mean, even with the one for Thailand and for the East, for the Western Cape as well. Just saying, okay, this is how you secure the trip, put a deposit to and actually even with the first one, the Durban one, they were literally putting money into my account. But they didn't get worried about, okay, what if my money disappears and all of that. So I'm lucky to have people that actually trust that if I say we are traveling to Durban, they trust that we are going to travel to Durban, and I will do all I can to make sure that the trip is enjoyable.
How well does this, in your opinion, translate into the brand context and campaigns that involve brands with specific outcomes in mind? Because usually, or in some instances, a brand would say, we've got this airline as a client or that hotel as a client. You can organize a trip around yourself with your interests and get the right people involved. How does this translate in that brand context?
I wish they would come and do that and say that to me. Because with all my trips so far, there's only been three, but I haven't had, you know, a brand looking at the fact that I'm organizing all these trips, and all these people come back on social media and they're posting and they're sharing and they're telling their families and their friends about the trip. So I actually haven't had, you know, a hotel group or airline coming to say, let's do this because we have seen, you know, that you are able to actually make these things happen. So I think it's possibly something that I need to work on. Maybe I need to do the approaching. I don't know. But for me, I think maybe this is not a good thing. Or people tell me it's not a good thing. But I mean, even with the trips that I've been organizing so far, I've really just been doing these trips because I want to travel and I want to meet new people. I haven't been doing them because I want to make money. I mean, yeah. I don't charge like an admin fee or whatever fee for people to come on these trips. It's purely for us to go and have a good time. And I try and make it as, you know, as affordable as possible, because I know the cry out there from everyone about how inaccessible travel is. So I think more than anything, more than seeing it as an opportunity for me to make money, I'm seeing it more as me exposing, taking people along with me on my travel adventures. And also, I guess, building that trust and that community, because once I've traveled with the people that I've traveled with, they still want to come on more trips with me. So if I was to do whatever event where I needed people to come, these are people now I've kind of expanded or grown my network in that sense.
As someone who built a platform across TV presenting, a strong social media presence, and leading digital news platforms, which you've built, that I mentioned earlier in your intro, how do you determine which platforms you'll use to amplify a brand message in instances where you collaborate with brands, or in instances where brands approach you to either try out something or to work with them as an influencer?
Obviously, you look at what is the ask. What are they looking to get out of, you know, of this particular campaign? Yeah. And then based on what they are looking to do, if you're looking for especially if there's a call to action, you want people to do something and to kind of engage a bit more, Twitter is that platform way. Well, up until recently, I've always seen Twitter as my main platform, but Instagram is starting to kind of pick up now. So it really depends on what do I want to share. If I want to share, does the client want to share video, or is it just text? Like sometimes they give you all. Please tell their friends. We don't like people people giving us captions and telling us this is what you must say and all of that. So it all depends on what it is that they're looking to do. And then obviously I know the kind of audience that I've got on Twitter and the kind of audience that I've got on Instagram and what it is that they respond to positively. And then based on that, then we would decide, okay, the best platform for this is more my stories. And then now there's a thing, you know, where we've got Instagram Reels that are, so rather than post a video on my page, I'd rather do it as a reel because reels are getting a lot of engagement currently, and they, you know, they short, they punchy, and people are really seem to be loving them. So it really just depends on what it is that they're looking to get out of that campaign, and then we can look at what the best platform is based on. Because even though I do have, you know, the same people following on Instagram and Twitter, but there are some differences in terms of how they respond to the type of content on each of these platforms.
If you're enjoying The Lead Creative, please share this episode with your network and hit follow or subscribe. Enjoy the show.
In the brands that you've worked with and the campaigns that you've done, right, the clients, there are some debates as to whether it's better to work with the brand or better to work with the agency, and different people have different preferences. In your experience, where does it work better for the collaboration? Where an agency is involved and they're kind of handling the campaign and you become part of a campaign, or if a brand says, we're launching this car, we're launching this phone, we're launching this, have a go at it. In your experience, what works better for you? Because every person has different preferences.
To be quite honest, for me, I prefer working with the brand directly. And the reason why I prefer working with the brand directly is because they welcome your creative ideas. They welcome my suggestions as a content creator. They don't just see me as somebody who just executes what they have already decided on. And this is me talking from my experience. I mean, I recently did a campaign where the brand came to me directly and they said, Lelo, we have this campaign that we want to do. This is our budget. We don't know exactly, you know, how we can partner, but we want to partner with you and your podcast and so on. And this was exciting for me because it means, yes, it's not just about me taking, you know, they've already decided this is exactly how you must do. And this is what the caption must be. This is, you must post on this day at this time. And you must tag this. I had input into how do we build. Okay, obviously we had a discussion about what is it that they are trying to achieve. So they listed, we just want to do this. This is what we want to, we want awareness. We want people to do 1, 2, 3. For me, that was so amazing because, oh, then it's not just me about being a channel, you know.
Yes.
But there's actually thinking that goes into creating this beautiful campaign. So I put together a proposal for them. Here's what I think we should do. Obviously, I've got somebody that I work with for content. This is what I think we can do. What do you think? And they came back and said, cool, we're happy. And I mean, it won't always be the case. Sometimes they won't like my ideas, but I think that exchange of, you know, of ideas and us just being to deliberate is so awesome for me. Look, we can't run away from agencies because they are part of, you know, they are part of the value chain in most instances. But I really wish they would really incorporate us more into the delivery of this campaign, of these campaigns, rather. So my choice between the two, I think I prefer working with a brand directly.
Which, I mean, I absolutely understand that. I think the question I have in my head is sometimes Brand X has a campaign kind of coming out and an agency would usually handle that campaign. And in them handling this campaign, they have, of course, the TV side, the out of home and billboards and whatever it is. And you kind of become part of this thread of messaging. Is it not perhaps not beneficial for you, for your messaging to go in one direction when the rest of the brand messaging goes in a sort of different way? Because, of course, you have your own ideas of how your community will interact and engage with a piece of content.
I guess in a wider campaign where there's different elements and it's not just, you know, we have, this is what we're doing on social media and therefore we need your help, then that's something else. Yeah, in a case where, you know, there's other elements, there's billboards, there's TV, there's other things that they're doing, then I guess it kind of makes sense to, you know, involve an agency so that the message and the delivery is consistent. But I think even with the agency involvement, the only frustration that comes there is really just about, you came to me because this is my voice, this is how I engage, this is the kind of things, these are the kind of things I tweet about or I post about on Instagram. But yet, when you come to me, you want to change, you know, how I do things. I do understand it. It's a brand, it's sponsored, whatever. But don't try and make me do things I don't usually do to fit in with you. I think if you know, they always talk about how we really want this to be authentic, to be in your own voice, da 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 da. But they want to tell you how to do it, and they so stiff in terms of how you do it. And unfortunately, we don't always get campaigns as content creators. So you end up in a situation where, oh, I really want to do some work, because you kind of feel like if I do this campaign, then it also puts me out there for other, you know, potential brand collaborations. And people end up doing things that they wouldn't normally do just to secure the bag. But actually, this does not even feel
authentic with them. Yeah.
So I have gone through those stages, but thank goodness I've kind of grown. I'm in a space now where I'm not going to say yes to everything just because I want to secure the bag. I kind of have gone through, you know, all of that where I did things where that I'm not even proud of. Like, why did I even do this campaign? And sometimes the effort is not even worth the payment that you get, you know, from that campaign. But I think it's still the case now with a lot of content creators where we do things because you just want to secure the bag, but not because this really resonates with you or this fits in with how you deliver your content.
So what I'm getting is you prefer having creative control on the one hand, and on the other, also being able to express in your own voice and an authentic way what, you know, your engagement with a piece of, with a product or a brand or whatever it is, right? Which I absolutely get. Now, in terms of this creative control, how do you then create the content, and not the intricacies of content creation? Because again, let's go back to the agency or brand example. If a brand or an agency is working on a campaign, they've got their own sort of creative. Would you then want to change that creative in a way that suits you, or would you utilize the similar sort of creative but with your own messaging?
It's usually with my, just use a similar type of creative, but with my own messaging. I think, you know, to be fair, things are starting to change a bit where they do allow you some flexibility to add your own tone and your own voice and, you know, just shift things around. But then it must be approved, da 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 da. So it's not as big of a concern now than, you know, than it was before. But I still think, you know, things can still be done better. Things can still improve. And also this thing of, you know, let's say you're working with like 5 influencers on a specific campaign. You can't tell them all to post at a specific time, because our times, our peak times are different. You know, every influencer has a different profile. We all have our insights that actually tell us about our engagement rate and when's the best time to post and so on. So isn't it better then that we adapt that based on what my insights, you know, or on what my stats say, rather than, you know, you come sit and you set in your ways, this is when, what day it's going to go out, this is what time and so on. So I think what I'm trying to say is I don't like just being told what to do. Explicitly, just allow me some flexibility nyananje somewhere in there. And then I feel like I'm part of this decision, and therefore I'm going to make it so awesome, because I'm not just, okay, is this what you want me to post, copy, paste, and that's it. And I don't think that works.
Insights is something you mentioned. How do you measure your insights, and what metrics do you measure to say this was a successful campaign for this brand or it wasn't? You know, do you like what do you measure as success for brand A versus brand B? Also for your own, I guess, your own profile, because that speaks to the profile that you're building and developing as well for the next brand and the next campaign. What metrics do you put in place to say this is what I measure?
So it's not an easy thing. And sometimes the value that you get out of the campaign, you don't see it immediately, right? It's only way after the campaign has ended that you actually see, oh, okay, I was posting about this particular car and a person tagged me and said, I actually bought a car because you were talking about it. And I think for me, that's how I measure whether something that I do was successful or not, by the feedback I get. from my audience. So depending on what the call to action is for a specific campaign, whether people do actually do that, if we are asking for people to download an app, if we are asking people to go and leave a review on whatever, if we are asking people to buy something and they actually come back and say, I bought this because you posted about it, which I appreciate from my audience. That's how I measure whether it was successful or not. And it's not always helpful for a brand who wants, you know, feedback now, let's say at the end of that particular campaign. But sometimes you don't see the results at the same time. You see it at a later stage. Yeah, and I think how people actually engage with the content that you put out for that particular campaign, that for me shows whether or not I did a good job, you know, with putting out the message. And also the types of responses that you get when people engage with that piece of content. Is it about what you wanted them to see, or are they seeing something else that was not intended, you know, to be their focus? I don't know, you know, when I don't know if that makes sense for brands, but for me that's how I measure it.
Okay, that makes sense to me. And then, I mean, you've got a number of different platforms mm-hmm. that you create different types of content for. There's Chika, the site. There's the Chika Travel Podcast. There's, of course, Twitter. There's Instagram. There's your Facebook page. How do you determine, first of all, where a piece of content fits? Because at Chika, let me use that as an example. At Chika, you've got a team of writers, a team of people you work with, and then I would see your Twitter as your Twitter account as you, right? So how do you make the distinction where a piece of content fits for a brand, or the type of content that you should create for a brand, and where that belongs?
Okay, so at the moment, Chika is not active, right? I am not running like chika.co.za. I haven't been working on the platform, I think maybe like it's a year and a half or 2 years. So I'm solely focused on Chika Travel. That's my baby. That's my future. That's the one thing that I will never get tired of, even when I'm 50. So yes. So there's the podcast, and then there's myself, and I've just recently started a Chika newsletter as well, because I felt like I'm tired of blogging, like long form type of writing. I think I've done it for way too long, and I'm really, really tired of it. So just short, brief things, and I think Twitter, Instagram are perfect for that. Even my Facebook is actually not that active, because it's really, really difficult to manage all these different platforms, because they all require a different type of strategy. You know, the strategy that works on Instagram does not work on Twitter. So usually when I get approached by most of the time, if not 100% of the time, they approach me because they want to work with me, Lelo, the person, more than the Chika Travel or whatever. Because I've kind of positioned me, and just Chika Travel is just the name of that platform, you know, where I talk travel and so on. So they always come and want to work with me. And then depending on what it is that they want to do, usually they go for the platform with the most followers. But the platform with the most followers is not always the platform that's you know, where you get the best engagement sometimes. So, you know, we look at what it is that they're looking for, where are they active. Some brands are not even active on Twitter. They're only on Instagram. Therefore, it makes sense that if you're going to direct people to them, then you use a platform where they are, which is Instagram. So it really just depends on I don't always choose. Sometimes I would suggest, based on what it is that they're looking to do, to say, can we rather make use of Twitter or make use of Instagram because of 1, 2, 3. So, yeah, it really just depends on what it is that they are trying to achieve with the campaign.
If you're enjoying The Lead Creative, please share this episode with your network and hit follow or subscribe. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, I think that's very important. I guess, I mean, to base it on the client's needs rather than where you think they fit neatly. How do you determine the types of brands, or the brands that you would work with and the brands that you wouldn't? Because one of the things you mentioned earlier, of course, is authenticity. And sometimes that authenticity is also in the kinds of brands that you use. Like, I would use I would drive car A, not car B. I would use skin product A, not B. How do you How do you make that distinction and that determination?
I always look at whether this is, let's say it's a car. Is the car actually nice to me? Does it look nice to me? You know, and obviously there are brands where as soon as I see the name, I don't even care what it is that they want me to do. I want to work with them. So yes, you know, sometimes you're not even happy with the budget, but you're like, it's them. I want to work with them because of the association with this particular brand, because I've either, you know, we call it a brand crush. If you have a brand crush on them and you just really want to you want that association. So therefore you work with them. But there, for me, it's really just about, will I use this product? And I recently got approached by these facial things, I don't know what it's called, where they do your face and you go for treatments and da-da-da-da, all those.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm unfortunately not available because I don't even know if these things work. And my audience, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere, my audience knows me that I've always had good skin. There's no way I'm going to come and sell that you must go to this place to look like me, because first of all, it's not true, and they know it's not true. So therefore, I can't work with you because I don't firstly believe in the product. Maybe not really believe in the product, but I don't know enough about the product, and I also think it's not going to be believable because my skin has always been like this. I've never needed, you know, to fix it or to do something special for it to be like that. It's genetic. So I guess it's really just about, can I put my hand on my heart and tell people to buy this thing or not? And if I'm not sure about it, you know, sometimes, you know, with campaigns, they can, you know, things can backfire. You know, a company can be, under fire for something. Is it something that you feel like I'm still okay with the fact that I worked with them? You know, mistakes happen here and there, but, you know, deep down, and when it comes to how ethical they are and how they do things, it resonates with me and I'm comfortable. And I think it's more than, and I think I'm at a stage where now I think about, it has taken me so long to build the trust that I have with my community, with the people that follow me on social media. And my reputation is it matters to me. So I always think about, do I really want to be associated with this particular brand?
What I get out of that is, can you credibly use a product, first of all, and do you trust that what the product says it offers, it actually does? Which leads me to the question of, sometimes you've seen a product or a brand which is new or which you've never used before, you've used them and you were pleasantly surprised at how good that product or that brand is. So if, for instance, you wouldn't try certain types of brands or products, how then do you find these pleasantly surprising ones that you can rave about? And the reason I ask that is partly because sometimes people who are influencers, content creators, are obviously also customers and the buyers of certain products, right? Sometimes you buy a product not thinking it would be as good as it's built to be. You buy this thing and then you end up on Twitter raving about this thing, even though the product and the brand don't know you and you have no exchange between you and the product, and you just become a fan of that product. How do you find these nuances or these potential brand collaborations or even brands that change your mind about a space? I wonder, like, there are people who have, you know, credible voices in the influencer marketing space who have been approached by brands. And of course, there's an exchange between yourself and the brand, but also in those instances, you then like the brand or you don't like them.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
What happens when you've had an exchange with a brand and you really didn't like the brand?
Is this an exchange that is paid for or just a normal interaction with the brand?
So there's a campaign and this car brand says, drive this car for a week. Yeah. And after driving it home from the dealership, you actually hate the car. You can't drive it for a week.
I've had those instances where I worked on, okay, I think this was earlier on in my career, where I worked with specific brands, and I would be like, I'm never going to buy this car. But you end up going on social media and telling people about it, because it may not appeal to you specifically, but there could be other people that it appeals to, so who follow you. So I think another thing, this is actually very tricky. I haven't had a case like this recently, but in that instance, I saw it as I think back in the day, I have worked on campaigns where I felt like this is not a product that I'm going to buy, because first of all, it's not something I'm comfortable with in the sense that I prefer a different brand to this one, but this is the one that came to you, therefore you put it out there. And I'm sure there are people who still do that today, but at this particular moment, I wouldn't do it, because if you came to me and you said you want me to promote this car, which is a manual, and I don't drive a manual, so I'm not going to tell people to drive a manual, because I don't think it's, you know, I have my own views about it.
Some people would say that because there's been this financial exchange between influencer and brand, sometimes we don't get honest feedback from, say, the influencer, right? And in this case, in the case of this car that you're given, and it's a manual instead of an automatic, for instance, or it's this skin product that you'd never use, and you're given that to try, as a result of the exchange between yourself and the brand or yourself and the agency, how credible is the feedback that your follower gets in the end?
And to be quite honest, this is something that is true. It does happen. And sometimes I think it comes to the integrity of the influencer, because you really don't like this. You use this product now and you developed a rash, but because you are being paid, you are not gonna say that. You're just gonna put it out there for your followers because you want to just get paid. So I'm sure this is something that happens, but let's say they gave me a skincare product, right? And we did the campaign and so on. And we finished the contract, we did the post. And now at the end, I've already told people about how amazing this product is, because how at the end of the campaign, do I now go back and say, oh, guys, remember I talked to you about this product? Actually, this is what happened to my face afterwards.
That's the question.
Yo, it will depend on the contract. What does the contract say? I don't know, but yo, I don't know. Sure.
Because it's, I mean, the one side of it has the public-facing engagement or interaction. And the other side is private or business end, which is not for the public, right? So if you like a product or you like a brand, you talk about them as you go. So you will say, I'll create 5 or 10 posts around this thing, and you'll just create them. But in this instance, the interaction with the brand is negative, or with the product is negative. Do you give the brand feedback behind closed doors, or do you give us honest feedback as your followers?
I think what I would do is to give the brand feedback behind closed doors, to say, guys, this is what happened to me while I was using this. So, I mean, from this point onwards, then I can't continue to say 1, 2, 3. But obviously, but I wouldn't go back to say to my followers, guys, this is what happened because of this brand that I was telling you guys to buy. But I would say I would talk to them behind closed doors to say, this is what happened to me. Therefore, I really am not comfortable going out again to say people must buy this, because I don't want people also tagging me on social media to say, look at what happened to my face after I bought that product that you said I must buy. So I would give them feedback behind closed doors and not continue with, you know, talking about them to my community.
That makes sense, because then they're able to make the changes as the brand.
Can you imagine if I did that, like went back to them behind closed doors to say, this is what happened, and then they actually find a way to help me with whatever issue, maybe give me a different product to help me deal with whatever this issue is, that's something else to talk about. And my skin gets better afterwards. That would be something else, guys. This is what happened. It's actually an honest story to go back and share, guys. This is what happened after I used 1-2-3. So this just shows, Wuti, you know, you always have to check your skin so that I kind of feel like there'll be like an educational element that we could use as a nice twist to that. And then as use that as an opportunity to also talk about this corrective one that we used to fix that issue. I don't know. This is just me thinking out loud.
No. I get that. So. I mean, again, it takes us back to credibility and integrity. To not just your followers in the brand, but also your own voice. In terms of how you communicate and how you get information out there, there are also instances when people post something and then there's a backlash on social media about that particular product. Have you had any of those experiences or perhaps ways that you would deal with that?
Yo, I did this other, collaboration with this brand, and it was actually an airline, and we were giving tickets, people airline tickets, and the nightmare, the flights getting canceled, people not getting notified and all of that. And now people are coming to me because they want the tickets through me, you know? So the experience was just not what I wanted. And so I took the responsibility, dealt with the people to say, cool, what is the issue? Give me all the details. I will speak to them. And I was literally the person, you know, handling all of that just so that my followers are not, you know, disappointed by something that I said. You can rely on this airline, you can, you know, travel, because some people, one, actually two of them, were stranded in Namibia because they used, yes. So yeah, it does happen. But in that case, I don't excuse myself and say, you know, it's hear these guys, speak to them. I literally take responsibility because they entered this because they trusted me when I said you can use this airline and travel with them. So yeah, I don't think you can absolve yourself from it, because if you've attached your name to it, you have said that you can trust this.
Okay. In closing, as a content creator, a platform owner, and someone who is an influencer in many ways, what should brands and agencies consider when approaching you to work with them? Or at least how open-minded should they be?
So they need to consider if there is, firstly, do they see a match between me and what they do? Do they see an alignment? And are they comfortable to, you know, to fit? Do they see their, whatever it is that they're trying to promote, fitting into what I already do? Or do I need to now change how I do things to fit into what they are trying to get to? And I think if you just like the person, but you don't like their platform and how they do things and you want to change, that's not a good collaboration. But if somebody comes to me and they want to collaborate with me using something that I can, you know, I'm in travel. And if your campaign is something that could fit nicely into any of, you know, any of the things that are related to travel, then that's a nice fit. And even me doing it is natural, is authentic. We don't need to force things. So I think just be open-minded about the delivery. You might have an idea, but I know my audience better than you do. And therefore my input, you know, and my voice should come out and should be, you know, at least considered in building that campaign.
That is, that's a great note to close on. Lelo, thank you very much for making the time to chat with us today. It was an absolute honor to have you on the show.
Thank you for listening to The Lead Creative. Did you get one insight that's worth sharing from this episode? Please share it with your network or your friends. Pop me some of your ideas and innovative finds on Twitter on @Mongezi. This podcast is available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also find me on mongezi.com.